Hello and welcome to this week's edition of the Hooligan Report. I'm your host as always, SM, and joining me this week, once again, I have Cookson along.
Good evening, or whatever time of the world this is, all.
And I also have along the individually brilliant, as ever, Cruyff.
G'day, lads.
Now, let's get right into it. We've had a bit over a round of fixtures since the last podcast. So, folks, what are your highlights from the last round?
Well, excluding a fairly obvious run, it would just be with nice attacking footballs back in and it's continuing. So let's hope it can continue on. And, of course, probably Ian Robin's form. He's just been a scintillating touch.
And Cruyff?
What Cookson said, and as well as the rise of the underdog. A lot of smaller teams upsetting the larger teams, which is always good to see.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a great set of results. Obvious highlight is Timmy Cahill's goal against the Netherlands, which is probably going to be one of the highlights of the tournament. But as you say, I mean, Chile getting the result over Spain and Spain's shock exit, as well as Uruguay, Costa Rica looking pretty good in that group unexpectedly. Italy struggling.
Ghana
doing well. Even Iran against Argentina was quite surprising to see them arguably deserving the win.
I thought Iran did really well. I watched the replay, but Iran had their chances and defended quite well too. They were lucky not to get a goal, and they were just undone by Messi, but that's how football goes.
Very stiff not to get a penalty, actually. I think Zabaleta very lucky to get away with a tackle in the box that could have on another day been given.
I saw that actually. For me on the replay, though, it looked like he got the ball, but I wasn't 100% sure. But from the angle I saw it from, it looked like he just got the ball.
And I guess speaking of questionable refereeing calls, the Nigeria-Bosnia game had quite an interesting one with Dzeko's goal being ruled out for offside, despite the linesman not actually raising the flag until after he'd scored.
Ridiculous.
So, I mean, you get tournaments that hinge on those sorts of results.
Yeah, and it sent them out, evidently.
Well, quite an interesting one. Belgium as well, last-minute winner against Russia. Quite an interesting result.
Not convinced by them.
We discussed it last week. Their form has been quite questionable, as have quite a few of the big teams.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, you just have to look at Brazil, for instance, as well, who, I mean, they're coming into their own now with quite a convincing win in their final game against Cameroon. But
yeah, they played really well this morning.
Yeah. This
is, every team appears to have a good weakness, which is, there's no one team dominating on top. There's just a lot of solid teams with weaknesses all round, so it should be entertaining.
I guess that's what I wanted to ask you guys. Who do you see after that, you know, some of the third round games have been played, but mainly the second round, who do you guys now see as perhaps the favourite to take it out?
I don't think you can rule France out with the way they've been playing, although their defending for the Swiss goals wasn't the greatest, but they've been playing really well.
Yep, and I'd probably still say Germany is...
Yeah.
Probably have the most quality all-round department. Brazil, I have Fred up forward, which is just a hindrance. The Netherlands have weakness. Weaker defense. French
are pretty solid, actually.
French, you're just not sure that when they're going to just completely crack shit with each other. So, yeah, and just... You've got Italy, who look a bit slow and might not even get out of the group stages. So it's going to be interesting.
Yeah, well, I guess speaking about Italy and that group, it's been quite an interesting group and perhaps one we'll focus on for a little bit. England obviously going out in the group stage is quite amusing. How do you guys see the fallout from that? Do you reckon Hodgson might be looking for a new gig soon enough, or they'll hang on a bit longer?
Didn't they say he's staying around till after Euro 2016, or did I mishear that?
That was my understanding. I don't know if that was Hodgson who said that, but I did hear the fact that he'd be staying on. But I understand Mr. Steve Bruce has put his hand up to be the next England manager, but I can't see that going down too well.
Well, there's apparently some people who wanted Fergie to be manager. I'm thinking, yeah, he's a Scotsman. He's probably sitting there laughing along with the rest of the world in England.
I think that was one of my favourite sides during the game against Uruguay. I think there was a guy in Scottish kit sitting amongst the Uruguay fans celebrating when they scored the winner.
Keep David Moyes is available.
Who would they hire, though, realistically? Like, who can they actually obtain and who would want the job? That's what you need to ask. But there's really not that many names out there.
Yeah.
You wonder whether they'd try and pursue quite a manager who enjoys the tiki-taka style, I suppose, almost like a Bobby Martinez or a... Pochettino's not really that same sort of style, but he also employs a much more attacking style of football, I suppose.
Do you mean those two specifically, or a manager similar to them?
Perhaps one of them, but more just a manager of that style, a more attacking manager who's not afraid to sort of change the formation around. And yeah.
Yeah. But then, again, who? Like, it's just this... Would you really want the England job? With all the pressure associated with it, Capello failed after the fallout with Terry, and then it's just, I don't know, it's an absolute shitstorm with the FA. Yeah.
It does seem quite a poison chalice. It's almost, you know, you take the job on, and as you say, there's a lot of pressure, and if you do well, obviously the media's going to be all over you, but come that World Cup, they just never seem to be able to pull it together.
It's just the English, it's like everything involving the English football team just has too much baggage on it. I mean, it turns world-class players into shit players. I mean, and then they just do boneheaded decisions, like we'll play a 34-year-old man in a two-man midfield.
Oh, jeez, yeah.
I think now, though, after if Gerrard does announce his retirement with Lampard getting on too, I think that's actually going to be a blessing in disguise for them.
That's why I don't understand. Why did Hodgson try and get a play on?
Well, he's had a... You look at his season at Liverpool, you can't really blame him for wanting him having in the squad, but... The way he was played was the wrong way.
Yeah. I mean, realistically, apart from Rooney in 2004, every English player just hasn't showed up at all. I mean, look at, they really lack someone like Beckham, to be honest. He would just...
X factor sort of thing.
Beckham would run all up and down, left to right, just to get within a sniff of winning. And
But then you look at, say, Gerrard for Liverpool, he's a fighter, like, he won't back down, but then he puts an England shirt on, and where does that character go? It's like it goes away into a shell or something and hides.
I think it says it all for England when arguably their player at the tournament has been Raheem Sterling, who I must say has actually looked quite impressive in both games. But it says about
20?
The squad.
21?
Yeah. Oh, 19, 20, I think, yeah.
Exactly, yeah.
Give it another 3 years, he'll be crap for wearing an English shirt.
Well, I must say, Liverpool fans must be warming their hearts at the sight of Gerrard and Suarez linking up so well, so at least there's some positives for them out of the World Cup.
Yes, another assist for Gerrard from Suarez.
Absolutely. It's as you say, a two-man midfield where you've got Gerrard, it's just asking for trouble, I think.
It's very tactically naive and inept.
Yeah. And you just look at the passing. I mean, the people who played in that role in front of the back four, you got Pirlo, Xavi, Scholes, world-class players.
Xavi Alonso.
Yeah, with a lot of intelligence. I mean, Gerrard was more of a blood and guts player who would just run and produce that moment of genius or moment of electricity. Just, he was not a tempo guy. So, again, it's just wrong players in wrong roles and, like, put your best player in Rooney on the wing. I mean, only in England would that happen. I mean, you give us Wayne Rooney, we're probably on 6 points.
Yeah.
I mean, Ange would kill to have Rooney.
Rooney should have been starting up front. I don't know what was going on. Although he did assist for England against Italy from the left, but again, his best position's in the middle up top, so you wonder what was going through Hodgson's head.
And the other one, a lot of English fans I've read have been out for blood about the defensive lineup, just absolutely torn to shreds by Uruguay.
They really missed Terry. Really could have done with John Terry at this tournament. He's born leader, knows how to defend properly, good reader of the game. Not afraid to get stuck in, so...
And logically speaking, I mean, you've got probably arguably the best defensive partnership in the Premier League was Cahill and Terry. Just logic seems to dictate get Terry out of retirement, get him into the World Cup and put him alongside Cahill and you'll arguably get the same form.
Yeah, well, they should have tried it, but I don't know what the story was behind Terry, if he would have come out of retirement or not, but... Yeah. It would have been worth a shot even if he did say no.
Anything better than Phil Jagielka. Yeah.
I do know that England they'll be making changes to the back four. Like, pretty much Shaw will be on the left, Smalling, Jones in the middle, right back, they'll probably just shove Milner in.
Is this for their game against Costa Rica?
Yeah.
That will be interesting to see.
Honestly, a traffic cone's better than Johnson.
Oh, yeah. I saw a comment which was that he wasn't actually the worst fullback for England because Baines was just so inept, and I do have to think that's probably correct. Baines and Johnson both are pretty woeful, though.
You wonder if the occasion got to Baines after he was so good at Everton.
Well, that's it, because this was probably... Was he at the Euros in 2012?
Oh, no idea. Cookson might know.
This might have been his first major tournament, and as you say, occasion might have gotten to him a little bit.
It's potentially, it's possible.
So, no, I mean, it's quite interesting, and I mean, what do you guys make of Jagielka's comments after the match where he was very quick to single out Stevie Gerrard, his captain?
Should not be done publicly by any means, under any circumstance.
I mean, even if he meant it as a genuine sort of, he was just assessing the situation, the question will always be asked, is it, you know, the Merseyside hatred or excuse-making or whatever you want. As you say, it just seemed very poorly timed.
Mm. I do know that a lot of Spanish and French media, though, they were getting stuck into the English.
Oh, I think everyone loves to get the boot in when English are doing poorly.
Even we're doing it ourselves.
I did enjoy, there was an article that came out sticking the boot into the seasoned players at England and basically pointing out all the players that stepped up for their countries. And Timmy Cahill was named as one who'd stepped up for Australia, which was, it was very pleasing to kind of see Cahill recognising the company of players like Van Persie and Robin and Pirlo, who've really stepped up for their country.
If you look at England's squad though, it's actually not bad. It's quite solid on paper. It's just when they step onto the pitch, it all goes up in the air and they don't know what they're doing.
I think that was my comment in the preview podcast where I actually said, because they all play in the Premier League, we see them week in, week out, that on paper they all look like quite a solid squad, and then they get out there and turn to shit.
Because they're all English.
I didn't even get to see them go out on penalties. I was looking forward to that.
I mean, it's just the two best British players in the world happen to be Welsh. I mean, that's got to destroy the English. I mean, they could have had Bale and Ramsey.
Fantastic.
And back in the day, they could have had Giggs as well. There's another one.
Ramsey won the FA Cup this season, didn't he? Just gone?
No, I don't remember him doing anything at the World Cup, at the FA Cup. I think that's a big blank spot in my memory. So we'll move on from that, actually, and talk about a much more enjoyable game, which was Argentina's win over Iran, and Messi seems to have got the goal out of the way, so now he's starting to light up the World Cup, and what a goal it was to win the game for Argentina. But do you guys see it as perhaps Argentina struggling a little bit, and it's perhaps masking their true form that they've managed to scrape through and get the win?
You never know in the group stage. I mean, sometimes something just a cagey, then I'm expecting Argentina to explode. I mean, they just probably lack some qualities down back, but their front four is probably one of the best in the world, and you just hope it's a matter of time for them when Aguero will suddenly start entering beast mode. Messi, he still doesn't look 100% fit in my opinion, but he's still probably better than every other player on this planet.
Yeah.
I think they've been quite unconvincing in their two games. I mean, against Bosnia, they needed an own goal, and they were struggling late on when after Bosnia scored, and then against Iran, 1-0, 93rd minute winner. I actually think Argentina suffered from having too many good attacking players. I mean, they're playing Di Maria at centre mid. He's not a centre midfielder, he's a winger. You've got Gago Mascherano. Mascherano, fair enough, but Di Maria needs to be playing on the right, but then who do you take out of the front three if you do that? They suffer from too many top-heavy players, having too many good top-heavy players, rather.
Well, I think we were discussing this in the previews, that they've got so many good attacking players that it's actually quite hard to fit them all into a decent formation, and you end up leaving some out, but then, as you say, defensively, they're not great, so they need all the attacking help they can get.
Who's their starting front three? Aguero, Messi, and who's on the left?
Higuain.
Higuain, yeah.
See, I wouldn't play Higuain's too slow. I'd play him centre forward, but then where do you put Messi if you put him on the right, and then Di Maria on the left, like, and then where does that leave Aguero? It's just, they've got too many attacking players that they're trying to play, and I think it's actually backfiring for them. They lack balance.
Yeah, like I think we said, you'd almost play Aguero as a striker and then put Higuain on the bench.
I agree.
Because they're basically the same. They're better in the same position, really. That, you know, you can't really have both in the same side.
Yeah, definitely. Too much individual brilliance.
Though I must say, an individually brilliant game for Romero. He made some top saves against Iran, which, I mean, it is Iran, so you'd hope that he'd be able to keep them out, but he did make a couple of absolutely cracking saves in that game. So to do something for once, you know, actually showed that he could keep.
always useful for a goalkeeper.
Yeah, always useful. I mean, he hasn't been playing too much domestically, I don't think, because he's the backup keeper for Monaco, I believe. So it's kind of interesting to see a starting keeper for Argentina who's not starting domestically.
Well, I couldn't even name another Argentinian keeper, to be honest.
I think there's Orion or someone like that. I only know because I've looked at their squad a fair bit, but yeah, I wouldn't be able to name a single club that has an Argentinian keeper. Except for Super Crystal Palace, who I think Spironi's Argentinian, but didn't make the World Cup.
Interesting, you didn't know that.
Yeah, I believe that's correct. I'm sure Milan Panthers will correct me if I'm wrong, but I think he's an Argentinian. But how about we move on to probably my pick for game of the round, which was the USA against Portugal. And how did you guys see this game? I mean, I saw it as probably one of the games of the round going into the fixtures because it was really a do or die for both teams. And I suppose a draw is arguably a fair result in the end.
Yep, it's just... Well, just look at the USA, started out pretty well. They scored a cracking goal. Then they probably thought they were home and through until Ronaldo, despite being out of form, half fit, produced a cross that was just straight out of the textbook. And it's just, you still get the idea of Portugal that, on the whole, their team's still just shit apart from Ronaldo.
Yeah, I agree. They don't have, I mean, Jean Moutinho's a decent player and Nani when he actually wants to play, but where, like, who, they brought on Ede from Braga, who hasn't scored an international goal. Hugo Postiga is their starting number nine. Like, what's that? Like, it's just, you, they don't, yeah, what Cookson said is right. They don't have the quality that people seem to think they do.
I think everyone looks at Portugal, sees Ronaldo, and automatically thinks they're quite a strong side. But, yeah, as you say, they don't seem to have much individual brilliance in the side, you might say.
Do you guys
perhaps say that Ghana would be a decent shot against them?
Yes.
Yeah.
Because then you have to wonder what's going to end up happening in that group. I think the way it's fallen, if Germany and USA draw, they both go through. So
you'd think you'd think with the Germany USA game that both teams might just relax and not go forward and just be content with a draw. And you've got Klinsmann being German as well, coaching America. You wonder if he'll give Yoki a call and see if they can do some colluding.
Yeah, well, that it will be an interesting one because I believe, I could be wrong, but Germany basically secured top spot in that group, or if the USA win, could they steal top spot off them? I'm just having a look now.
I think USA win, they're top.
Yeah, okay. So
although both might be on 4 points, I can't remember.
You might be right. Yeah, just having a look now. Yeah, so USA and Germany are actually both on 4 points. Germany just has the stronger goal difference.
And then if Ghana beats Portugal, they'll be on 4 points, but that won't matter. And if Portugal win, it doesn't matter anyway.
Yeah, so I mean, if Germany USA draw, they're both through, and Germany would finish on top. So yeah, you could be right. I mean, they might both be just pretty happy to sit back.
That's fine. I don't mind the USA. If Australia can get to that level by 2022, I reckon that'd be really respectable.
Absolutely. I mean, I was quite surprised that there's quite a lot of anti-American sentiment on the board. I think maybe because of those humorous videos about American fans who don't really know much. But I quite like the USA.
Yeah, I think they've done really well.
So no, they're building.
And I guess speaking about Australia, it might be a good time to review our tournament. And, I mean, it'd be hard to say we've been anything other than a huge success in terms of expectations going in. But what do you guys, how do you guys rate our tournament on the whole?
I mean, well, I'm kind of disappointed we're out because we finished a bit better. We do have better quality passing at times. And I reckon we go through on 6 points and we could probably lead the group. I mean, just quietly judging on the form we had. But yeah, there's positive signs that we're developing our own footballing style that to be played, and people said we weren't going to score a goal. Well, we scored three of them. One of them was an absolute cracker, and unfortunately a bit on the downside with the Spain game. With Spain, we just have too much class and quality all over the pitch for us, but yeah, I'd probably say it's a good tournament by us.
I was one of the skeptics before the tournament started. I'm happy to put my hand up and say I was wrong. After that second half against Chile, the boys more than met my expectations and far exceeded them. I think the way we did against Holland was very admirable considering how many world-class players the Dutch have. And even though we probably didn't defend the greatest, we still took it to one of the best teams in the world and showed that we weren't a pushover.
I think for me, the biggest positive to take out of it was just how quickly our style has changed under Ange, because we were pretty much in the English mould, actually, before under Osic, where we played quite a defensive and cagey game style. And under Ange, it's just so much more attacking and aggressive. And
I never understood the appointment of Holger Osic. That was completely left of field to me.
Yeah, I remember when he was appointed. Yeah, it was quite surprising for me as well, because I thought, at least with Verbeek and... his name's gone out of my head now. Hitting. Hiddink is the one I'm looking to think of. We had that Dutch style sort of developing, which was a bit more of an attacking style. And then Osick just became a much more closed down, dour sort of manager, I suppose.
The Bake was rubbish too. That was turgid football.
Not much better, yeah.
I think
his biggest problem was he just didn't rate the A-League, and that's why I was so excited with Ange coming in, because let's be fair, the A-League's not, you know, international standard, but if you've got someone like Ange, you can recognise the strengths and weaknesses of the league and understand how to use it to his advantage.
And coming from the A-League as well helped him, I think.
Well, exactly. He had good relationships with the players already.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, Cookson, you go.
I was just going to say, there's something that's also I found quite surprising, is that when other teams scored goals, we tended to get to jump on them really quickly on back. I mean, we saw Cahill's goal versus Netherlands, and it was sometimes versus Spain, where as soon as they scored, we were at their end nearly scoring. So that'd be interesting.
It would have been interesting to see how we did if Robbie Cruz was fit, what would have happened there?
Yeah, I think that's a big, big regret for me, is he would have had, I just had a feeling that this was sort of going to be his tournament.
But in saying that though, would Cahill have played centre forward with Cruz in the side?
Because I mean, you could play Cruz out wide, couldn't you? You could have taken.
Plays on the right sometimes, doesn't he?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, back in the day when playing in qualifiers and that sort of thing, we'd usually have him on the right with Cahill up the centre, I think.
Yeah, he plays on the right for the Bund for Leverkusen.
Oh yeah, Leverkusen.
Yeah.
So probably we wouldn't have seen Lecky play, but still were linings, but we'll probably get our defenders back too, which will also help Williams.
Good on Lecky as well. He, bit of a breakthrough star.
Yeah, I mean, he's almost regretting signing a contract with that second division German team, I think, because I reckon there'd be a bit of interest in him after that sort of tournament.
No, he can still transfer.
Yeah, it would just be interesting to see if he actually does.
What do you guys think is his level?
Look, I could see him going to maybe a bottom half championship club, perhaps. Maybe like Millwall or something, and working up from there.
He'll probably stay in the Bundesliga. Or just get to a low Bundesliga first division club and just stay there.
You'd want him to, you'd hope he'd go somewhere where he's going to get first team football and not, chase a paycheck.
I really hope that Ange is getting that stamped into a lot of the younger players, that you need to be going somewhere to progress your career and not,
definitely.
Can you guys maybe answer, why is it that so many Australian players seem to head over to Germany? I mean, that almost seems to be the main league that our younger guys head off to. I can't think of what the connection is or why they seem to end up in Germany.
Probably good coaching.
It's a great bloody country.
I'd rather them go to Germany than personally the Premier League. I mean, the Premier League's good, but the coaching's not that great in the Premier League in terms of footballing style, and it's just, you get the idea that Germany's a lot low pressure and they'll be more responsive to footballing ideas, which enables a greater variance of players in Australia.
Yeah, no, that's a fair point. It's just curious because it just seemed quite a random sort of thing that most of the players seem to come out of Australia and go to Germany.
I know the Germans and the Dutch teams, they do like Australian players in terms of what we bring.
I think it's because of we work hard. Like our players, they run their guts out sort of thing. It's not because we don't have many of them don't have the technical ability, so they need to rely on other things to build their game. And I guess that's what those coaches like.
Yeah, and I mean, speaking of transfers, I think both Davidson and Taggart have been targeted by Fulham. So it'll be a very interesting couple of weeks after the World Cup to see, in general, just how our players go in terms of stepping up to new clubs, because it seems that the World Cup always offers a good platform for younger players to really show what they're worth and get a good move, even if it doesn't always pay off, like in Holman's case.
Where's Taggart playing now?
Newcastle.
Newcastle, yeah.
Oh, what, Jets or United?
Yeah, Jets.
Oh, yep. Yeah, shares my A-League knowledge.
No, I think he was the top scorer in the A-League this season, actually. So he has shown that he can be quite prolific, at this level at least. So it'd be good to see if he could get the chance at a bigger league.
Yep, and also, while we're on Australia, we should probably talk about Tim Cahill's goal.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, personally, when I saw that, I was like, I yelled out, and I was just so bloody happy when that happened. It's just like, we have a world, that's probably one of the best moments I've seen in my sport watching life. I mean, the only thing I could really think that feels better was Goddard's mark in 2010. But honestly, that was just, we have a World Cup moment that will be remembered.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I was drunk off my face, and I had about 10 of my mates were over, and luckily no one was asleep in the house, because we absolutely yelled our lungs out, because it was, as you say, it's an iconic goal, and it's really given us a moment at the World Cup that we can treasure.
I was watching it in bed with, and I was on Facebook chat with my mates, and Rebenska, and I was writing a reply to Reben's goal, and then I hear Foster going off his head, and I looked up, like, oh, it was scored. Didn't see the goal until the replay, but I actually think the keeper should have done better. For that, but I think a better keeper would have stopped it. I mean, great hit over the head, weak foot, but I think a better keeper would have stopped it, because to me it was straight at him.
I mean, hit with power,
but it was straight at him, and I think a better keeper would have stopped it. But nonetheless, a great hit and a spectacular goal, and one that will be not forgotten for a long time in Australian football history.
Now, out of that goal, Van Persie's goal and Messi's goal against Iran, which do you guys reckon is probably goal of the tournament so far?
Van Persie.
Yeah. Van Persie just had an element of genius about it, like compared to a volley or what Messi did. He improvised that finish.
To get the trajectory on that header from where he was and to loop it over Casillas into the back of the net is astonishing from where he was in the box.
Yeah, I'm a bit biased, but I'll probably go with Messi's goal, even though I'm going against Australia and saying that, so maybe not so biased, but I just thought Messi's to win it in the 92nd minute from that far out. Oh, it's classic Messi, but it was just an absolutely great goal.
USA goal was good by Jermaine Jones.
Yeah, that was another good one.
That was a great hit.
It's been a few absolute crap. It's been a very good World Cup so far. Obviously, probably the best that I've seen, and I've only seen 06 and 10 before this, but outstanding. Before we wrap up, what are you guys most looking forward to over the next week's round of fixtures?
What, knockouts or just group stage three?
The last group stages, and I guess, yeah, Brazil, Chile, and Mexico, Netherlands, since those are the two knockouts that have been sorted out so far.
Brazil, Chile should be a cracker of a game.
American crowd too, yeah. That'll be really intense atmosphere.
Brazil should win that, but I mean, I could see Chile causing an upset in that one.
Yep. And I want to see Costa Rica beat England, because that'll just be funny.
Oh, I had an English mate in the Hull City Australia Facebook group before the tournament asked whether there were any Australian players who could get a gig at Hull, and he said, nah, they're all crap, and because he's still quite English. And after we lost in the Netherlands 3-2, I said that there'd be quite a few that could make it. And he said, how many points have you guys got? And I said, how many do you have? He said, I'll get back to me after the Uruguay game, which I was more than happy to.
Well, Italy, another game to watch is Italy-Uruguay. Strikers will give the Italian defence a lot of headaches, and wouldn't be surprised if they get through and Italy go home after this.
Well, I mean, the way it's been going, absolutely wouldn't be surprised if Italy are sent packing as well. And who do you guys, I mean, you probably have to go with Netherlands against Mexico, don't you?
Yeah, Mexico just lack an extra bit of quality that the Dutch have. They've still got Hernandez, who scored. United players doing well.
They all do well in the off-season, don't they, Cook? So Fellaini's got his goal for Belgium, and Hernandez firing for Mexico. You've got to love that they know how to play football at the right time of the year.
Very conflicted when Van Persie and Mata scored.
Oh, I can imagine. Anyway, thanks very much, guys, for coming on. I think we'll wrap it up there. Thanks very much, Cookson.
No worries.
And thanks very much, Crowe.
Thank you.
And thank you all for listening. We'll be back this time next week, and until then, we'll see you on the forums.